Hey everybody, this is Major Mine, aka the Terrible Australian of Supermarcy.com. And with me today is a regular site contributor to Supermarcy.com, and that of course is Mr. Chris Innes. How you going, Chris?
I was very fine until I discovered which film we were about to discuss, because it reminded me of such horrible things. But other than that, I'm super duper.
But Chris, we already talked about Jurassic World. Oh,
stop. Oh, I hate you.
I know, I just thought I'd give a bit of a burn in there. But anyways, for people wondering what movie Chris is talking about, Chris and I are going to be doing an audio review on the first installment of the live-action two-part film series, Attack on Titan Part 1. Which, of course, is the live-action film that's based on both the manga and anime of the same name. Now, before I get into discussing this film, I'll read the synopsis from IMDb so all our listeners can know what the plot of this film is about. And the plot is, in a world where giant humanoid titans prey on humans, Eren joins the Scouting Legion to get revenge on the monsters who killed everyone in his town. Now, Chris and I have both have seen the... I think, Chris, you've read the manga as well, have you?
Yeah, I've read the manga, basically... I'm going to go with collected volumes from 1 to 7. So that basically covers, in terms of the TV show for the fans out there, seasons 1 and pretty much 2.
Yep.
But yeah, that's... And I've seen the first season, and yeah, they were really, really good.
And I've only seen the first 13 episodes because that was of the that's mainly because that was the how many episodes the first Blu-ray collection I was sent to review only had, but I will, which will be up, which I'll be, is a review I'll be writing very soon, so keep a lookout for that. And Chris, tell us your thoughts on Attack on Titan Part 1.
Well, as you guys mentioned before, when you were talking with Marcy about, the gift. You and I actually saw this while she was watching that, and I basically came out in a massive, massive fit of rage.
No, that was, that message, I think that would be a complete understatement. That's, like, Chris came out, like, basically turned into a titan. He wanted to
basically
destroy everything in his path.
Just think of, Godzilla trashing Tokyo. That's how pissed off I was. Look, this was a film, when they really announced this was happening, was just when I was kind of getting over the whole Attack on Titan thing, because I was into it, I was kind of enjoying it, but then just something, after watching the anime, I was like, I just couldn't really go on, because there, so many people were getting into it so quickly, and it was just everywhere, at Comic Cons and all of that, and everybody was dressed in the Survey Corp outfits. And I'm like, look, that's good, but this is probably something for the younger, like, my sister's into it, so it's something more for her generation. Because I always compared, I can kind of compared Attack of Titan to kind of Pokemon for my age group at the time when it came out. It started off fairly slow with hitting Japan, and then it slowly worked its way here over a year, and then bang, it really, really hit. And that's what happened with Attack on Titan last year. So when the movie was announced, I was kind of leaving the fandom, but I was like, oh, that's interesting. But as it's going along and I started seeing the footage, I really had massive, massive worries for this film. I was very concerned that it was not going to be a good film, but it blew all my expectations of how bad it was. And if there are fans out there that still haven't seen it, I know we are to encourage people to have their own opinion about a film, but honestly, fans should not be seeing this because, one, it has absolutely nothing story-wise, character arc-wise, anything with the manga and the anime. And, I mean, I would have absolutely loved to have spoken to, because sitting in front of us were a bunch of fans, and I would have loved to have, seen their disappointment. But it's It is not Attack on Titan. It is, yeah, let's adapt it. And, yeah, basically the best film to compare it to would be what they did with Super Mario back in the early 90s. They just took the name and, you know, fucked it over, basically.
Well, to be fair, I think this would be more faithful than Super Mario, but I'm just putting that out.
Yeah, look, but, I mean, look, the only credit I will give this film for actually doing a good job was their special effects. Because the director is more of an anime filmmaker, and he managed to pull off some very good visual effects that were both CGI, but also, you know, actual actors in makeup, very similar to how Toho did their Gojira films, you know, men in suits, basically. And this is a guy that's going to be co-directing the next Japanese Gojira next year. But whilst I know the visuals for that will be good, I'm just really, really worried because, you know, this was that terrible. You know, everything has changed. Character names, character story arcs, the whole plot of the story. You know, one of the most popular things in the show or in the manga, sorry, is, you know, their the Survey Corps, the special gear that holds their swords. It's got nothing to do with the film until after the Furt and Titan attack, where they decide to invent it then, and the Survey Corps and all the different factions with the military are non-existent. Eren's backstory, he's got no backstory. His father, who was at a whole important thing.
Hold on. We have to say this is a spoiler-free audio commentary. So for those out who haven't seen the movie or haven't read the manga or
I'm not at a point when I was reading it to really know Eren's father's involvement, but basically, you know, Eren's family is a big part of why he wants to kill Titans. Totally, totally written out. Mikasa is totally changed. And I think the other big issue that a lot of people will have with this movie, and me in particular, this was my first real issue when they announced the film. The manga, when you read the manga, you know, he's the character, Eren Jaeger, you know, they are German. These are German characters. You know, in the manga, Mikasa is like, you know, this is a world on the brink of humanity's being wiped out, but Mikasa is like the only Asian character in the whole series. But the movie decided, you know, let's turn them more Japanese. We'll make it more of a reference to World War II. And it's got that feel in there that, you know, that it's almost like the last days of World War II for the Japanese army. But that doesn't fit well because these characters are not Japanese. These characters are German. And that really affected with the renaming of a lot of characters and screwing around. And it's just absolutely horrible, horrible. I mean, I was sitting there turning to you saying that, you know, really petty stuff, you know, it's like that didn't happen in the manga. And it's like, it may not matter to some people, but this is a film that should have been made for the fans, and they fucked it up big time. And the sad thing is, there is another part to go, but I really doubt anybody is going to want to care about that because, you know, and again, things didn't happen like they were supposed to in the story, and it's just, yeah, it's just crap. I'm sorry. It's, yeah, that's as tame as I can be without recreating my full-on frenzy of pure hatred for this film. But, yes, Bede, what did you think of this film?
Well, here's the thing. I'm just going to put out there, I am not, I don't give a shit about stuff, all the things that Chris just said, mainly because I just think, you know, like the manga, I haven't read the manga, so I'm pretty much like only a newcomer to this whole series, and I've only just seen the first 13 episodes of the anime, and so I figured, you know, whatever, like, you know, it changes, it doesn't matter, as long as, you know, movies, like, if they're based on something, whether it's an anime or a book or whatever, they're gonna have changes, and things are probably gonna be, you know, condensed down in a lot of ways, or things are gonna be changed, as long as it still works and still serves what, you know, the story is, it doesn't really bother me too much. So I'm kind of in two minds about this this film as, you know, but as a film on its own and as an adaptation. I think, here's my first mind. As an adaptation, I do agree it's not very good, but at the same time, though, I have to take into account because this is a, like, I'm not sure what the, I think the budget for this film was at least, and for this and part two, I believe was $75 million, I think. I'm not sure if that's in US or Australian or whatnot. So even by sort of, you know, Hollywood standards, this is considered a very low budget film. So, but that being said, though, like, I think I do agree in the sense that when it comes to certain aspects, particularly with characters' backstories and all that, which I think were really effective in the anime, since they sort of changed certain things around, and I can see why they do that, but at the same time, it didn't quite, some of those sort of, you know, background changes and all that didn't quite work for me. Although the sort of the whole race changing thing didn't really bother me too much because, like, other than sort of like two or three of the main characters, most of the supporting characters have pretty much, well, based on ones that have appeared in the anime, are basically just got, you know, Holton, different sort of Japanese names. So that way, you know, they're still the same characters, just, you know, without the sort of European sounding names. So like there are sort of issues I have, and it also it does sort of streamline through a lot of the story in the first 13 episodes that I have seen, and which I would have loved it if this film was longer, because it's only just a bit over 90 minutes long. I would have liked to have seen if this film was, say, probably 2 hours, maybe 2.5 hours. I mean, they kind of did that for, say, the Death Note sort of movie adaptations. They made those much longer, so because that's such a long story, and they needed that time to sort of explain it. And I kind of wish they did that for this one, but unfortunately they just didn't. But that being said, though, I think on... Now, if I can separate it as a film on its own, I still think... here's the thing. I think if you're a fan of the series, you're probably not going to think much of it at all. Or you're just going to, like Chris, sort of flat-out hate it. And since I'm sort of a moderate fan, it didn't really... I don't hate it as much. I think it's more sort of average. But I think on another level, when I sort of watch it from a different point of view, if I just watch it as sort of like a cheesy sort of monster movie, in that way, it's watchable. Like, I think, and I like my cheesy monster movies as much as the next person. In a lot of ways, I got a kick out of that because I think a lot of the scenes with the Titans were actually pretty well done and pretty intense at times. And I think having the Titans actually played by real people, with the help of sort of prosthetics and all that, sort of adds that sort of intense feeling to the whole proceedings. And in that way, I think that's where the movie is at its best. But I think when it sort of comes to sort of some of the characters and some of the sort of the story and all that, it kind of just sort of like sort of streams lines through them, or just doesn't give them enough time to develop. So yeah, but that's pretty much me, though. Like I said, I'm in sort of in two minds about this film as coming from, say, a moderate... I wouldn't say I call myself a flat-out fan of the series, but I do like what I've seen of the anime so far. So,
but see, this is a film that's not going to be seen by a general audience. It's like, you know, the Pokemon movies or most live-action adaptions of an anime. It's a film made for the fans. So, I mean, really, I mean, yes, there may be some people like yourself that have seen it or know it and will watch it as well. But, and that's where, you know, it's really a film for the fans. But, and like you said, yes, it's not a proper adaption, but there's adaptions that can be done, like, you know, a novel or, you know, a comic book where they go in different directions. But as long as they have that spirit there, and what they did with this film was exactly what they did with last year's Ninja Turtles. They basically removed its soul of what made it super, super special. So, for example, Ninja Turtles last year, they removed basically everything Japanese about that film. With this, they removed everything Attack on Titan from this film, which is basically, you know, Eren's backstory, the characters, the storyline. And that is why the series is that popular. You know, there is a reason why this series is popular. I mean, it's because of the characters. And, you know, Eren's drive for revenge is based on the fact that he wasn't able to save his mother when the Titans first attacked in the first first volume of the manga, which is why he joins the Survey Corps. And he hates the Titans so, so much, even more so for that. And, you know, so Mikasa's, you know, she's this ultimate killing machine, but the backstory they give her for this just makes no sense at all. And when you take that away from these type of characters, and again, you do change their racial background as well, it's really insulting to not only the fans, but the original material. And that's where they're running into big issues with these live-action manga, live-action adaptions of manga and anime. I mean, I haven't seen a lot, but there's enough out there that are that bad like this to really turn. I mean, the big failure was obviously the Dragon Ball one. You know, they don't care what they're doing. But yeah, I mean, like I said, you take that away from something like this that has a massive, massive fan base, and I know a lot of fans of this series. You're just gonna completely ruin it, and it's a massive missed opportunity because.
But that's what I was saying earlier. You've got to take into account that this is not. This is only basically is an independent film.
I understand. I took it a different way, but the problem is again, you're going to adapt something that is that popular right now with, you know, a specific fan base. You can't. You have to do it justice, and it's like I said, because the only people that are really going to be seeing this film are the fans. This is outside of Japan, that is. But it's just, yeah, it is such a missed opportunity. And I know when I was talking to my sister about this last year, when I, you know, we discussed, even before they announced the live-action film, you know, how you would do a film. And we both agreed that it would have to be, and this will never happen, but it would have to be a co-production between both Toho and... my recommendation would be Universal, because they have Legendary now, and they do so good with the monster movies now. And it would have to be a co-production of the two. But you would also do it very similar to how Starship Troopers was done. In terms of, you know, and you would try and condense those first 13 episodes of the anime. And they could do it. They could do it if done well with the right people. But like I said, they decided to go for a very cheap-looking movie and rush it out in two parts, which they never actually advertised it's going to be two-part unless you really knew what they were doing. Like in Japan, they got part one at the start of last month, and then part two's basically open there at this week or next week. And the same thing's happening here. We're not getting it till the end of this month in September. But again, it wasn't advertised as a two-part film. It's just like Attack on Titan, and oh yeah, that looks cool.
Oh, well, but to be fair, they do have a pretty big part one symbol on the posters. I'm just saying.
They do, but I think a lot of people forgot that, and they do have that mini trailer about, you know, it's like next time on Attack on Titans, and it's just like, yeah, I really don't care. Look, I'll probably only see it just for the sake of saying, look, it's done, we've seen it, but look, it's. Again, like I said, I would encourage a lot of people, a lot of fans, to avoid it. One of the other issues I had, and it was the same issue as another review I read for the film, is that with the music, and the music's so irritating. In one two-minute scene, they've got five pieces of really odd music mixed in there. And it's like the guy compared it to the music in Battle Royale, where, you know, the music in Battle Royale is so beautifully orchestrated and so well used. And it's like, yeah, they're just trying to copy what they did, but it's a horrible, horrible mess of music. And it's just like, But yeah, it's, I'm sorry. Yeah, you just can't do this without pissing off a lot of fans. And yeah, I know my friends in the fan base, when we've discussed the movie, they've just been like, yeah, no. We'll see it, but it's not. And I know that goes with your argument, you know, it is a separate entity, but it's the fact that it exists. and it exists in the version that it is, and it's very insulting to the original material. And that's my opinion, but yeah.
Alrighty, I think we'll wrap this up because it's been gone on a bit longer than expected. But I would say that I think people should see it and then just whether they're both fans or non-fans and sort of make up their own opinion on the film. Like, I don't want our listeners to take both our words as gospel, because in my opinion, I think people should go watch something and judge it for themselves. So I think, as I said, but that being said, I think if you're a fan, like a big, mega, epic, humongous fan, you're probably not going to like it. But I think if you just, or if you're a non-fan, I think you'll probably get a bit more out of it if you don't know any of that stuff, or you're just kind of apathetic about it like me. You could probably just, you know, go, or something like that. So,
look, I agree with what you're saying. You know, people should see it, but again, like I said, you really only see it if you have to. I mean, I'm going to stick to my guns and encourage people to just avoid it full stop. But if you do have that interest and you are a hardcore fan, then go. But please go at your own risk, because if you don't want to come out of a cinema feeling the way I did, then, you know, yeah, that's my word of warning.
I'm pretty sure nobody on the planet has ever come out of the cinema the way that you did.
Yeah, yeah. That's me when I saw Pain and Gain.
Oh, and cameo appearance.
Cameo from Marcy. But yeah, we'll wrap this up.
I think they should cast, after that, they should cast me as the man in the suit for the next Gojira. And all they have to do is, like, remind me, I'm the guy that made Attack on Titan, and I would just lose it. So
I think they should cast you as Destroyer in the next Godzilla movie.
As who?
Destroyer.
Oh, man, I am so good. Anyway.
Anyways. So we'll go to our ratings. Chris, what rating would you give Attack on Titan Part 1?
Look, I'm going to give it a very, very rare rating that I very, very rarely give to films. And I've only given it to one other film this year, which I will not mention because of specific connections to said film. Again, I've probably only given this star rating out 5 times ever. I give this 0.
Well, you have to give it a rating because there's no rating thing on our website.
This film is unrateable. I'm sorry. Not even the effects.
No, you have to give it a rating. You can give it a half.
I'll give it a forced half, but in my personal opinion, this is a 0 out of 5. I'm sorry. It ties the worst film of the year for me. It's equal number one in that worst film of the year.
Alrighty, well, I'm much more generous than Chris. I'm going to give it 2.5. Like I said, as an adaptation, it doesn't work, but, you know, as a cheesy monster movie, it's watchable. So, so that's it. That's our audio review for Attack on Titan Part 1. Chris, where can people find you on the internet this week if Attack on Titan fans who watch the movie and don't agree with you want to send you hate mail, where can they put it?
Well, they can find me. I won't really be on the internet much this week now that Force Fridays happened. So I'll probably just be at home playing with my new action figures. And but if not, they can find me on Twitter at Gojira2387 or on Facebook, which is the usual Facebook address at Christopher Innes. But yeah.
People can find me at my Twitter page at twitter.com/bjamine, or my Facebook page at facebook.com/bjamine, or my fan page at facebook.com/terribleaussie. And, of course, you can find both mine and Chris's weekly writings at supermarcy.com. So I hope our listeners all enjoyed this audio review, and we'll see you all later. See you, everyone. Bye.
Bye-bye, everybody.